Was it something we said?
Are you talking to me?
Do you have a comment to make?
Are you talking to me?
Or a bone to pick with us? Why not send us an email to feedback@midwestpeaceprocess.com or join our forum at forum.midwestpeaceprocess.com, or you can just leave us a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/midwestpeace, or follow us on Twitter @midwestpeace. So that's how to contact us. Now let's give you something to contact us about. This week, we deny any involvement in the Midwest peace process. Welcome to the Midwest peace process.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest peace process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest peace
to remind
process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. Now.
Welcome to episode 41.
Now.
Today is August 27th, 2012. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is Raw. It's Barry White today.
Very nice. Okay, so this is going to be kind of a short episode. We have one topic here we want to cover, and this is regarding a campaign ad that it was a super PAC for the Obama campaign that put this ad out. Is that right, Jeremy?
Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't from Obama directly?
No.
Okay.
No. So that gives him that plausible deniability that, all the candidates have to have. It's kind of the reason the super PACs exist, right? So
right.
So they can form a sort of Greek chorus off to the side saying what the candidate can't say himself or herself. Okay, so Jeremy, you want to give some of the details of this ad?
Yeah, there was a campaign commercial, and it essentially said that because Bain Capital closed, a steel mill?
Yeah, I think steel mill.
Put a guy out of business. This guy's wife didn't have health insurance, got cancer, and died. Therefore, Mitt Romney gave this guy's wife cancer and killed her. I mean, it's
easy there on the characterization there.
Well, I'm not straying too far from the way it portrayed it.
Yeah, if you're going to boil it down, that's about it.
Yes.
Objection,
so, of
your
course.
Honor.
Well, I'll send you a link to the commercial. But I mean, that was.
So what does he say? It's a guy that says. I mean, he makes the charge that everything was fine. Bain Capital came in, leveraged the company with debt, and then sold it off. And he lost his health insurance, and then found out his wife was sick with some late stage cancer, and he couldn't pay the medical bills, and she died. And then at the end, there's what some claim that Mitt Romney doesn't care about people like us or something. How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're softening it more than it should have been. But so, of course, there's a little bit of, hey, that's not quite right. And the Obama administration is distancing themselves, saying, well, we didn't know anything about this guy. We don't have any involvement in this commercial. Well, it turns out his, what's her name? Cutter, I think is her last name.
Stephanie Cutter.
Yeah, there you go. She was on a telecon with this guy whose wife died. And so, yes, they knew about it. They orchestrated this. And just like Jerry said, the whole idea that it came from the super PAC was just for plausible deniability.
Yeah, and this guy whose wife died, this isn't the first commercial that he's done for the Obama campaign either.
Money in the bank,
and
baby.
I remember reading that he's been in one other one.
And his wife died 5 or 6 years after he was laid off.
Right.
So to even draw a line between the two,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
And the other detail that the commercial doesn't mention is that she had health care through her employer when, I don't know if it was when she was first diagnosed or if it was when he lost his job. She still had health care at that point, and it wasn't until a few years later that, you know, she had gotten sick enough she couldn't work anymore, and that's when she lost her coverage. So obviously Romney had nothing to do with her losing her job and her insurance, but they don't mention that, of course.
Other than he's part of the Illuminati.
Right.
So where's the outrage, Rob? Where's the outrage from the left? Like, the right was supposed to have outrage about Todd Akin. Where's the outrage from the left saying, hey, we don't want to play that kind of, we don't believe that kind of activity, we don't condone that kind of activity, those two aren't quite the same, but
I think it's
clearly underhanded.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know.
But not unprecedented.
Right. It seems to be like a little bit in the line of the kind of maybe not so bad as the Swift boats.
Yeah.
But it's a super PAC taking a kind of a big punch at the other guy in a not fair way.
Yeah.
Which I think we're just getting started, baby.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know. There was something I heard recently. They were saying that, you know, this campaign has gone negative sooner than any other, and
right.
I think a lot of that probably has to do with the Citizens United decision, and you know, the fact that the super PACs are such big players now in the campaigns. They're completely unregulated. They're able to say anything they want, do anything they want. So. Yeah, you can expect more and probably a lot more.
So do you? I don't know how you'd regulate it, but I don't think those kind of commercials should be allowed from either side. That it's completely mischaracterizing a situation.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
what did you just say there? You said shouldn't be allowed. Who's going to enforce the shouldn't?
Okay. Well. You can't make a if you sell a product and you have a commercial for that product, you can't make claims of that product that aren't true.
Right. You're defrauding the consumer.
Yes. So
yeah, so why can't you accuse a super PAC of fraudulent advertising for their candidate? Maybe you can. I don't know. Has anybody tried that? There's probably
short of slander, I don't think you could do much about it.
Yeah, there's no case law there, probably, but maybe there will be someday.
So no feelings on that, Rob? No feelings on that situation?
I mean, I feel it's the same. I feel the same way you do. I feel like it's unfair and it's kind of silly. I think it's kind of it's negative and kind of mean, but I don't think it's sort of unprecedented, and I don't think it's really worthy of outrage, I guess. I don't know. I'm not too outraged. I think this is the problem.
I think that's the problem.
Well, is it that this particular instance is not egregious enough to you know, get you outraged, or is it just that this is another example of where the political process has taken.
Right, right.
We're jaded now, so.
Right, right. Which one? He offered you two options there.
All of those. I'll take both.
Okay, so you don't think this one, this particular instance, stands out at all?
No. You know, and I'm trying to think, what does sort of stand out for me? You know, like I thought the Swift boats was a tough one. Because it kind of, I mean, there's certain things we sort of hold dear, I guess, you know, one service to country and sacrifice and all that. And it seemed like that was something that we could at least grant Kerry, you know, we couldn't grant him much else. So we feel like we'd give him a pass on that one.
Yeah.
And it seemed kind of vicious.
Yeah.
Or the race things. Like, I don't. Well,
the thing about that one that struck me as being, you know, kind of below the belt was that they went and got, you know, former members of his unit to like.
Right.
Sit there and talk trash about him on
right.
commercial. It's like, wow. But
I mean, that's kind of lousy, but to me, that that's at least some credibility. They were there with him.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I don't know. Why doesn't it bother me? I think it's just so silly, I guess, as someone who that ad is supposed to target and I'm supposed to support such a thing. Like, I mean, it doesn't really resonate with me. I don't really think, oh, hey, maybe Mitt Romney did kill his wife, you know?
So, Rob, what are your views on the Citizens United decision?
I mean, I don't like it. I think it's generally bad. I don't think it's generally bad because it's probably bad for Democrats, but I probably do. But it just seems like it's made things worse. You know, it's amped up an arms race that I'd rather not get amped up. But I do feel like it's just kind of the standard order of things.
So, the opposite end of that spectrum, from my point of view, is laws that say you can't make any negative ads at all about a candidate.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be into that at all either. It seems like
make ads about yourself, you know, that promote yourself and your positive contributions or whatever.
I think it's the anonymous giving that I think people have the trouble with. I don't think it's. I mean, if a bunch of people want to get together and pool all their millions and put out nasty ads, I think they should be able to do that. There's nothing really wrong with that. But I think we've lost a little bit of the accountability for what's all going on. So I think it's worth it, at least for the political junkies, at least that when you see that ad on there, you know that's not Grandma Wilson over there giving her $5 to the campaign for that ad. That's the Koch brothers giving the millions for that ad. That the media you're seeing in that way is funded by a few individuals that are trying to influence you.
Well,
and that's true on both sides.
Yeah, but
it's just you guys have more scary individuals.
I don't know that it's completely true because I mean the super PACs solicit donations from everybody. They don't care who you are. They just want your money.
Sure,
now,
right.
I'll grant you that there's typically one or two, you know, benefactors that, you know, are bankrolling the majority of what they do, and you know it's typically those people who start the super PAC in the first place. But you know, Grandma Wilson may have donated to that commercial. You don't know,
right?
So I, you know, my take on it is it's freedom of expression. If you're going to allow that to be part of you know the culture here in America, and I don't think you have a choice about that. I think you have to. You can't start regulating every little thing that people decide.
Right.
To.
Right. Yeah. I guess it seems like as I try to find middle ground because I'm so reasonable. Well, that's right, Jeremy. I said it. I guess I don't mind the super PACs. I'd like a little bit more disclosure. We need like an act, like a disclose act. That would be a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. Because it's not the same as people pulling money to run a 5K or research lung disease or who knows what they want to do. It's something that's a little more sacred, I guess, in our country's politics, and I think we've kind of lost the plot a little bit.
Well,
I mean,
I guess
if you like it, do you like it because conservatives tend to like it?
No.
Right, you probably like it more because it's a free speech thing.
Yes.
What about you, Jeremy?
What?
I mean, I'm guessing you approve of the Citizens United decision.
I don't know. I don't know enough about it.
Well, I think what's the gist of it? I mean, it's, I don't know if there's a lot to know about it. It just said you could pool money as much as you want and not have to tell anybody where it's coming from and let it fly. That corporations are people, too.
Yeah, see, now that is actually part I disagree with.
Yes.
Which part?
That corporations are people. I think people are people. And I think what they do with these.
So what do I say?
Depeche Mode.
No, I think what they do with their money is their own damn business. Now, when you have this legal fiction that the government creates that they call a corporation, and the corporation wants to spend its money on things, and people have a problem with that, well, guess what? You should lobby the government to make corporations go away. But don't tell them they can't spend their money on what they want to spend it on. Your problem is with the corporation and its existence. Your problem is not with the fact that they're spending money without limit.
But I don't mind a corporation that makes tasty sodas.
Okay.
This is a corporation that's meant to promulgate political views of a tiny few.
Well,
I just don't like their product. I don't like a corporation that makes cyanide either. It's a nasty thing they're putting out.
Well, okay, but I look at it this way. You're going to have anonymous donors regardless of what you do. I mean, there are just ways to donate your money anonymously. You know, if you want to go to the lengths necessary, you can do that. There's no way you're going to be able to completely eliminate anonymous donations.
Right. Well, that's true. This just made it much more legitimate. It made it a path. It said, look, if you want to hook up some anonymous donations, here's how you do it.
Yeah.
It's not that they weren't there before, but it legitimized and made a legal framework for creating such an entity.
Well,
can't make it legitimate, make it legal.
I would say it probably streamlined it a little bit. I don't think it created anything new. That's my impression. That
right.
All this stuff was, you know, the significant part of the Supreme Court's decision was that you couldn't put limits on the amount of money that was donated. That corporations were free to donate any amount of money to political speech. So, if you disagree with that, you know, my point is get rid of the corporation. But don't suddenly start this list of things that you can't donate your money to talk about, or you can't donate an unlimited amount of money to talk about. That's a slippery slope, in my opinion, because, you know, who decides what the dollar amount is? That's completely arbitrary, right?
Yeah, that does seem a little weird.
And that's one of those things that's one of the knobs that we like talking about, right? They've got their hand now. They can dial in a dollar value, and if it's too much, they dial it down a little bit more. And if it's not enough, they dial it up. And you know, who gets to decide where that dial is?
Right. It is arbitrary. $5,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Why not 2,000?
Why not 10,000? Why not $7,439? Well, that would just be ridiculous. Okay, so getting back to the ad, we kind of got off in the weeds there. It's one of those, you know, that they obviously hired a pretty good advertising agency to put it together, because it definitely tugs at your heartstrings and, you know, makes you feel for this poor widower that, you know, is shaking his fist at the Romney campaign.
I didn't tug at my heartstrings. I never believed those anyway.
Yeah, it didn't tug at my heartstrings at all.
Yeah, well, I'm being somewhat facetious because
yeah,
I'm jaded and cynical and nothing tugs at mine. But
just tugging at my BS meter.
The sheep out there that ad is targeted at, it's going to tug at their heartstrings.
Yes.
And what of it? Is that bad? Is it bad that, you know, the campaigns or their proxies are allowed to make ads that influence elections? Or do they influence the elections? How much influence do they really have?
I don't know. Hard to quantify, but would you say that the masses have the most influence if you can in an election? It's the,
well, the, I mean, I,
rabble,
I,
you know, the... Yeah. The mob is fickle, as they said in Gladiator, you know.
Right. So, I guess I come back to my kind of standard position on that, and you got, you know, one third that always vote Republican, one third that always vote Democrat, regardless of the ads, regardless of anything else. So really fighting for those folks in the middle, and you know, I think that that group, some of them, are going to be influenced by that. I don't know what percentage necessarily, but...
Yeah. Well, here's what I don't like in general, and it goes beyond politics. It's anytime there's a scandal, there's this standard playbook they use. It's first deny, and then when a few more facts come out and denials are no longer plausible, try and explain it away.
Yeah.
And what we meant was this. Well, when that doesn't have any more traction, then it... Well, then if it's a sex scandal, well, then they have a problem and they check themselves into a clinic. When it's this, they no longer tried to explain it away, but then just started talking about, well, Romney did this, or what about this lie that they told? It's the same playbook, and it's a tired playbook.
Yes. But again, the people that are paying enough attention to recognize that it's a page out of the playbook are not the people who are going to be influenced by this ad.
How do you measure, or can you measure, the backlash? As in, well, maybe I was going to vote for Obama, but I don't like that they did this, so I'm leaning the other way now.
Yeah. I won't try to estimate how many people are in that class. I don't know.
I would guess it's very few.
I'm sure it's not empty, but yeah. I don't think it's a huge number either. Yeah, I was struck by something I was listening to NPR the past week. They were, I guess they're doing their First in Maine series where they're currently in Wisconsin, I think, interviewing people there about how they plan to vote. And, you know, they found some guy who's still undecided and asked him, well, when will you decide? And he was like, probably the day before the election. I'll just sit down and, you know, Google up some information about the candidates and then make my decision that way. Yeah. What? Really? There are people that do that? But he does it, so...
Well,
I guess you know whoever the candidate is with the latest breaking scandal is going to lose this guy's vote.
Right, it's like football. You just don't want to make the last turnover.
Right, right.
Unless he's really Googling their platforms,
maybe. But it seems like you wouldn't have to wait till the day before the election to do that because. Their platforms aren't going to change between now and then.
I don't know. You get the flip-floppers like they, you know, with John Kerry.
Rob, would you care to respond to that?
He wasn't a flip-flopper.
Well, was he a sandal or a loafer?
You think about those, kind of the Rove Bush machine. And their quality and skill versus this Romney crowd. It's like, man, where's the A team? got the kids off the bench.
Yeah.
Like they can't even put it together. Like I hated all those Rove tactics. It drove me crazy, but it worked. Like I'd hate the Romney tactics too, but now I don't even respect them. Like with the Karl Rove, you hated it, but hey, you at least tipped the cap.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
These guys can't even get it together that good.
Right.
Yeah, it does seem like they couldn't afford the first string for their campaign.
Right.
They went with the budget campaign manager.
And that's because nobody wanted to do it because Obama's hard to beat because you're going to get called a racist.
Right.
Come on.
Finally admitted it.
Come on.
Everybody ready for some serious action? Some serious action. Silhouette, where to believe that satellite, that satellite.
Okay, our listener Eric had a couple of comments for us. I wanted to cover those real quick. First of all, he on our happy birthday episode, he said, "Good show. Not much to comment on, though. I'm not an Ayn Rand devotee, so I couldn't comment on that. The one-year retrospective was nice. I thought all of you guys expressed some good thoughts." So, thank you, Eric. We appreciate it. And then he also provided a link, which I will include in the show notes, to a rather lengthy essay in The Atlantic. It's called Fear of a Black President. And, well, I guess some of it refers back to comments we've made previously on the show about how you can't run against Obama on certain topics without being labeled a racist. And
should remind the listeners that Rob has disagreed with those comments.
Yeah, well, Eric says,
indeed,
a whole episode talking about Obama and perception of race in American politics. However, one point I want to make. Rob seems to disagree with people who say you can't really criticize Obama without being labeled a racist. Or at least you have to be careful how you criticize him without appearing to be a racist.
Right. Oh, well, yeah, I got the comment here. And then he goes on and gives us an example in the example comment in the thread.
Yeah.
Go ahead and read it aloud for the kids.
Yeah, so this was a comment on that article that he gave us a link to. "I've thought from the beginning that if we don't re-elect Obama, they, the racists and bigots, will have won. The, quote, worst president since Carter meme got started before he'd barely been in office 6 months. And to me, it's always been code for, quote, see what happens when we let one of them take charge."
Yeah. No. Right. So I think we're all in agreement that is indeed a racist comment.
Yeah.
The charge of racism is itself racist. And I think that's why I think Eric's link there, if you can read it, Fear of a Black President in the Atlantic Monthly, or at least online, can't tell if it's in both. Definitely check it out, because it really gets to the heart of this whole thing. It really sort of dissects, a comparison to the Clinton era, when conservatives were all up in a rage about everything he did. It talks about different counties that vote. It was a great thing. How do you know who's really racist? Like, you can't really call them up as a pollster and say, "Well, how racist are you? Would you call yourself very racist?" You know, it just doesn't work. So he got Google records of people who Googled racist terms and made determinations about racist counties. And he compared how Obama did versus how Clinton did, or how Obama did against Hillary versus control groups that had this kind of the same demographic but differed in this Google way. And it really breaks down kind of all of the opposition to Obama, all the way from "we just don't like the guy" to why certain topics still become firestorms, or certain things that he says still become or are perceived to be very racial, when I don't think they are, or I don't think he's capable, by the position he holds in our society, the way our society is today, that he can even say anything that's even a hint of racial overtones in it without it becoming a big deal. So yeah, I would definitely say check out the article. It's like a four pager. I got 3 pages into it. But it's well written and quality, and it doesn't really promote any particular viewpoint. But it kind of separates, you know, all the way from kind of your Rush Limbaughs all the way to your, you know, other just, you know, conservative disagreeers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he makes the claim that this may be one of the best parts of the article. Maybe this will fire you up to read it. He makes the claim, I don't know how true it is, that as the Trayvon Martin case came along, I think it kind of popped up in the news that there was kind of a self-defense killing, and that he was acquitted, and it kind of flew under the radar for a while, and then it blew up into a big thing. And the author of the article makes the claim that the nation was in somewhat of consensus, or they didn't care about this issue, you know, like, hey, you shouldn't be able to, you know, kill a kid with Skittles and an iced tea, and you know, we should definitely at least see what happened there. Like it wasn't, didn't seem to be a big issue there. But the author makes the claim that once Obama made a comment, which was a completely not radical comment, it wasn't even noteworthy, really, but he did mention that if he had a son, he would look like Trayvon. Well, then the author at least makes the claim that was the moment that everybody just went to their corners and said, well, if you're worried about Trayvon Martin, you must be an Obama fan. If you hate Obama, you must think George Zimmerman's the best guy in the world. And everybody went ding ding and off to your corners.
Right.
And just by him mentioning something that's just an obvious true fact, and all he said was we need to get to the bottom of this. That's all he said. And it became a huge issue. And then so, you know, conservative websites went to go find pictures of Trayvon looking menacing or being a doofus on Facebook. And, you know, the liberal side was trying to figure out how racist Zimmerman was in the past. I mean, the article is about him as a figure, Obama as a figure, in the way race really plays out. It's a good one. Check it out. You could have read it in the whole time I was talking there.
Okay, well, there you go. I'd encourage our listeners to check that out. We may spend some time talking about that on a future episode as well. All right. You guys got anything else on this topic?
That is all I got.
No, Rob just didn't engage. That's fine.
It's okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will see you next time.
Good night.
Bye now.
I don't think Mitt Romney understands what he's done to people's lives by closing the plant. I don't think he realizes that people's lives completely changed. When Mitt Romney and Bain closed the plant, I lost my health care. And my family lost their health care. And a short time after that, my wife became ill. I don't know how long she was sick. And I think maybe she didn't say anything because she knew that we couldn't afford the insurance. And then one day she became ill, and I took her up to the Jackson County Hospital and admitted her for pneumonia, and that's when they found the cancer. And by then it was stage four. There was nothing they could do for her. And she passed away in 22 days. I do not think Mitt Romney realizes what he's done to anyone. And furthermore, I do not think Mitt Romney is concerned.
Priorities USA Action is responsible for the content of this advertising.